way too much time since we talked last, Mookie.
It's been a minute, they say, Laura.
Well,
that's what the kids are saying. Hey, it's been a minute.
It's been a minute, and probably more like 10 minutes if you want to do it that way.
Okay. I see what you're doing.
Too long. How are you?
It has. Busy. It's been good. I don't know. I'm looking out the window, and I see blue sky. That's our new imaging, by the way. Calgary is now the blue sky city. Yeah, we stole that. We have that in billboards on the way into town, and it really is. It kind of like the paint chip right now, the blue sky kind of matches the blue sky city slogan we have on the edge of town.
Aww.
And it's going to be 18 degrees today. So
nice.
Last week it snowed, week before people are roofing. I don't know, man. If you want to move here, bring all your clothes. Boots, hats, Speedos, it doesn't matter. Bring everything, man. Keep it all by the front door because every day is different.
Well, we're going up to 2 today.
Oh, wow.
And Thunder Bay is the sunshine city, so we get sunshine, but just not as much heat as you guys do.
Do you have snow on the ground right now?
Yeah, we got a dumping the other day. And then a few days before that, we got another dumping. Yeah, it's been snow city over here.
Yeah, speaking of dumping, the downside of it being clear in the backyard is 3 dogs, and the dumping is outrageous. So, yes, my son and I will be out with shovels and bins later on to deal with that dumping. Oh, my God. There's a place called Poo Busters, though. It's like a mother and a son, and they'll come over for whatever the fee is. Almost worth it, right? And clean up the shit in your backyard weekly, you know, yearly, whatever it is. I'm like, I am so tempted. I have them on speed dial right now. I'm like, you need to get over here ASAP. Like, my wife needs to go out on a shopping trip, right? And I need to secretly spend some money where she doesn't know about it. Did you clean the lawn? I'm just like crushing beers, watching hockey on the TV, and the backyard's all shit free. So, yeah.
Do you see one any of these back days. There?
Is that mud? Are those dogs rolling in? Oh, no, God, it's not mud.
You just reminded me of our dog, Elvis. He was a Jack Russell Terrier. He'd come in when it was freezing out, and he'd have poop in his mouth. It looked like he had a little stogie.
Why do they eat that, I wonder?
I don't know. Threw it back out.
Yeah, my one dog ate elk poo, and the vet said, don't worry, it's all good. They eat hay and, you know, nutrients and stuff like that. Like, it's okay. But when they eat each other's piles of shit in the backyard, I'm pretty sure that's not good for them. And especially when they decide to drop it in your kitchen, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm tired of holding this.
Here, this is for you. Except
thanks,
once
Barkley.
It was a mouse that he was holding that he dropped on the floor.
Oh boy.
And I was like, what is that? what is that? And then I told my son, go pick that up. I don't know what he brought in. It was a mouse. Grabbed him by the tail, threw him outside. I guess either he was like frozen because it was cold, or he was like in shock because he was not moving and he started to move. So my son just threw him out the door by the tail. Yeah.
That's the word. Get him before he defrosts. That's
thanks,
hilarious.
Dog. So here we are. It's April 6th. Amongst the laughter, we do have a somber anniversary.
Yeah, Humboldt Broncos. Hard to believe it's been 7 years. Kind of like took us all by shock on social media. I didn't see it on social media. I remember I was taking my son to badminton. He was trying to make their school team, and he was going to play with a buddy who's really good at badminton. He was going to kind of teach him a little bit. And I got a phone call from someone high up at the radio station asking if I'd go to the station to voice a tribute that they could run across the country on Rogers at the time for the Humboldt Broncos. And I didn't know anything about it. Mm-hmm. I went on social media a few minutes before us to read, you know, what they had prepared. And my God, those images, those families, that scene was something like I've never seen before. And for the first time in my life, I'm like, this is... You know, my son rides those buses all the time. He plays hockey, junior hockey, rides those buses all the time. And to see that and to have so many lives turned upside down, I remember going into the room to try and read the commercial. And I just met this guy, Rob, for the first time. He just got hired on as our new producer. And I left 5, 6, 7, 8 times. I don't even know how many times I left that room bawling, not even knowing anybody in the scene, just knowing the culture of hockey, knowing the devastation with those families and our country and that province. It was hard. It's still hard, you know, and the legacies that came out of that with Green Shirt Day and the organ donations and all that kind of stuff. Those are some very big, some very strong people that can soldier on in a tribute to their kid. I don't know how I'd react. How would you react when it came to something like that?
I would be a mess, and I'd probably, yeah. You know, I don't know where that truck driver would be right now, but he did serve, sentenced to 8 years in prison. So there's a little bit of justice in that. I don't know if 8 years is enough for all that.
It's hard to say what you would have in mind, you know, and you just kind of read about what was happening on the bus at the time. Like they were getting closer to whether they were going to play their playoff game, and guys were changing back into their suits and playing video games and standing up and, you know, just being kids, man. Yep. They're like 18, 19 years old, just having a great bus ride. And that was as much as they loved playing hockey, and that was a dream, and they wanted to play in the NHL or as high up as they could. You know, the bus rides are what they remember, you know, when they get to bullshit with their buddies and, you know, and especially when you're playing in Sasky, right? No offense, but it's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours, like between towns to play these games. And they loved it. They didn't care. Maybe a bit burdensome for the coaches and the adults in the room, but the kids loved it. And yeah, for that to happen so suddenly and you know, I can't imagine those kids in the scene, you know, looking for their buddies, finding their buddies. Oh, it's just all so grim.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that part of it, but I can understand your point of view. Like you said, your son's on a bus all the time with hockey. So you envisioning that and thinking about what would happen if it was your son, I don't know what I would do.
And that's part of it too. So we went to Kamloops last weekend to try out for a hockey team. It's called Thompson Rivers University, and they play, you know, it's the program he wants in school, and he wants to keep playing hockey. And, you know, part of my thought process always goes to, you know, in Alberta, the winters are horrible. You know, like I never know after practice, after a game, en route to a game, where I'm going to stay the night, right? Like, you know, I have the most Best Western points in the world because on a random Thursday after practice, we can't get home. So the rule is, like, he's always lived at home, and he plays for a team over 2 hours away. So we put 50,000 plus kilometers on our vehicles every hockey season, right?
Yeah.
And by him going to Kamloops, if he went and played for that team, I'm not saying it's a picnic, but, you know, they're driving to Kelowna, to Burnaby, to Victoria. I know the Coquihalla's got a reputation for being a bit icy and black ice and wintry sometimes, but, man, it's way better than here, right? So having a bus going to the warmer locales, like the BCs of the world versus playing here, I don't know. It's since Humboldt, that's been part of my mindset is like, you know, I want the safest route possible. Look, you can't bubble wrap your kids, and I totally get that, right? Mm-hmm. But if he's going to be on the road 5 times a week with his hockey team, you know, it does bring me some comfort to know that he's driving on. Like, look, we went to Kelowna one night to watch his team play a month ago, and it was like 15 degrees and sunny, and it was hell in Alberta. Like, it was snowing. It was puking snow. We get to Kelowna. I'm like, this is why they brag about it. You know, the lakes and how warm it is and everything else. Anyway, meantime, that night it snowed a foot. But at least when I was shoveling the snow from our hotel room, it was a warm snow. But anyway, I digress. I'm like, Kelowna, you lied to me. I thought I should be water skiing today. Why am I brushing snow off my car?
It's amazing to me that you're in Calgary where, like you said, it's 18 today. But whichever direction you go in, there's snow.
Right? Yes. Yes, it's the prairies for a reason, right? It's unpredictable. We have Chinooks. We have, you call it, like, I got mad at you one time on social media, like, we're getting the Alberta Clipper. I'm like, hey, it's sunny in 15 today. There's no Clipper coming from here, man. We didn't send you any nasty weather.
I don't name them.
I know. It always gets a bad rap. I don't know. Must be the Edmonton Clipper. It's not the Calgary Clipper. We're nicer with weather and stuff here, so.
Well, when it comes from Alberta, we know it's coming. That's the point.
If it's ominous sounding?
If it's an Alberta Clipper, we know we're getting it. If it's coming from the south, we know we're getting it. Any other, you know, system that's heading our way, we're like, yeah, maybe.
Well, yeah, I don't know what the Clippers from the west of here are called, though. But, like, if we're getting 5 to 10 centimeters of snow, usually Banff and Lake Louise will get 40 to 60, right? With the higher elevations. And then we'll get, like, the city amounts, like the dustings, the 5 to 10 centimeters. So it all evens out. And I'm like, that's our Kelowna, right? The snow should stay in the mountains. If you want to go skiing, go to the higher elevations. And then I would like to have, like, sunny and 15 here year round, if that's not too much to ask.
Well, it is mostly.
I don't know. San Diego, what's the perfect climate to live in?
Oh, man. San Diego is gorgeous.
Yeah. I know. 75 degrees, lobster rolls, can't get to all the beaches. So good, man.
So let's talk about Noah, because you said you were off on the West Coast for hockey, but you are exploring other options too. You want to talk about that with 4 minutes to count down with?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're going to, there's a team in Pittsburgh. It's, I don't know if you've heard of it or not, Duquesne University. They play mostly Division I sports, like their basketball team, their football team. I think volleyball and track are Division I sports, and hockey is not. So hockey, when they don't have NCAA sports, they have something called ACHA. Don't ask me what it stands for. The H is probably hockey, and the A is probably association, and that's all I know. And it's not like it's a rogue from the school. It's just it's not endorsed. It doesn't have the same partnership with the school. So, for example, the arenas aren't on campus. It's all players from the university. It's all coaches from the university. But for some reason, there's not that marriage that there is with other sports. And I don't know why. And they have Division I. They have Division III. Division I is the best. Division III is kind of like their farm team, I guess, guys that like work up to get to Division I type thing. This school has been tracking my son for, the whole year at least, if not longer.
Oh, that's cool.
They like Western Canadians because, they're a little more, as Brian Burke said one time, truculent, a little more rugged. It's funny, anytime we went to play in showcases for hockey in BC, it's speed and skill, and then my kid would blow them up, and they're like, oh, I'm not going near that guy, you know, but he couldn't skate with them, and they couldn't hit like him, you know what I mean? Like, it's a different, it's just a different style, where he's like you stand in front of his net, you're probably going to get a Sherwood tattoo in the back of your neck, you know, that's just the kind of way, he's a throwback, and that's a style that he's developed, knowing that he's not the flashiest of players, right? He's not going to put up 10, 20, 30 goals a year. He wants to take care of his own net, and then if there's time to go get a goal, he'll try and go get a goal, kind of thing. So, so we're gonna go there. And one of the reasons that it's so expensive is because it's not sanctioned by the NCAA, so they can only offer academic scholarships and not sports scholarships. So I think I get the numbers wrong all the time. I think they can give him $35,000 a year in scholarships, and you're thinking, that's pretty amazing. Yep. Oh my God, what will you do with the extra money? No, I think it's $80,000 a year total for everything. The exchange, you know, living so far away from home, residence, you know, all that kind of stuff. But then you Google stuff like, hey, is Pittsburgh safe? You know what I mean? Like, as a parent, you always Google things like that, and they said Pittsburgh is one of the safest downtowns there is in North America. I'm like, okay, that's good. I'm like, Sidney Crosby lives there. It's kind of like Disney, you know, like he's like a Disney character. So if it's good enough for Sid, it's probably good enough for us. So yeah, I mean, I think that would be, you know, it'd be cool. My buddy says, go to an American school. It's really good hockey. It's a good chance to further your career from playing in a place like that. But on the other hand, Pittsburgh to here, man, I don't know. Is that a 40-hour drive in a different country? It's a long way emotionally and physically. He's in love with his two golden retriever dogs here in the house. So if he goes anywhere, I'll be surprised. But I think he probably will, and we'll see what happens. So
that's pretty amazing. And I mean, to go to Pittsburgh to go to school, and they've been keeping an eye on him too. That's got to be pretty cool for him.
Yeah, and I think the one really cool thing about going to play a sport or hockey in particular at a school like that or in Kamloops is that, you know, when you go to university, it's hard to meet people right away, you know, to meet friends. But when you have a brotherhood of 25 guys at the ready that you see five times a week, and then you make friends in school and whatever else you do in you know, on the campus, I think that's pretty awesome, too, that you have guys that you instantly connect with right away that, you know, you play hockey with, and then you can meet other people, too. So I think that's, you know, something you shouldn't be overlooked as well.
So our son went away for a university a few years back, and we thought, that's pretty cool. He went to Ottawa U, and he was taking psychology.
Is he French?
He's good at French.
Yeah, you have to be, right?
But the thing is, Ottawa U, and he was taking psychology, which he could have easily taken here at Lakehead University. But no, he wanted to go to Ottawa. So we thought, okay, well, cool, spreading his wings. The thing is, he was 18 when he went there, and, you know, drinking age is 19. But you just have to cross over the bridge into Quebec.
That's it. Go to Hull. That's it, man. That's it. I know.
We're very proud of our son, but once we put those things together, we're like, wait a minute.
That drinking age thing is so weird. Like, even in Canada, like, you know, he turned 18, a couple years ago, we went to Burnaby for a showcase for hockey, and he couldn't drink there because he's 19, like the province next door. I'm like, this is so whack. You know what I mean? Like, even in Mexico this summer, we're drinking Mexico. We go to the airport. We have a margarita. We get to San Diego in a layover, and he's like, ah, I'm not old enough. So I'm sneaking him like beers on the plane and putting in like a to-go cup. Hey, that's what good dads do, right?
Oh, man. We traveled with him, too. And in Scotland, they wouldn't let us in a pub because he was 17. In Paris, they gave him a beer because he turned 17. It was so odd.
That's hilarious.
It was his birthday.
Like, I get driving a car or maybe voting or whatever else, right? Yeah. Like, or renting a car, being older, you know, having those years behind you. But, like, why is one place 18 and the other one's 21 for drinking?
That's a big gap. We want to find the story that made this happen.
Yeah. And anybody, well, you know, you live with one, but anytime I talk to a buddy who's a cop, he's like, for every rule, there's a reason. I'm like, all right, okay, sounds good. Whoever ruined that first years ago, damn you.
Okay, we have 4 minutes to talk about Calgary. How do you think, or what do you think about Calgary being so close to getting into the playoffs?
4 points out now. Yeah, they lost in overtime to Vegas last night. It was a crushing loss for them. But like, they're just so positive, and I think that the best thing for these guys was early in the year, like before the season started, all the experts, and that's air quotes, are like, this team is trash. They're gonna finish at the bottom. And that's kind of motivated them. Like, they don't have a lot of skill. They don't have a Connor McDavid, an Austin Matthews, and Nathan MacKinnon, right? They have a bunch of guys with a lot of heart that play hard every night. God, man, I wish my team played as hard as they did. You know? I wish they were as dialed in for the coach as these guys are.
Yeah.
And it's fun to watch. And this city is so alive, you know? Like, there's so many things to tear us apart right now in this world. And knowing that, you know, your team, like, it's, the Flames aren't my team, but they're like, they're like 1B or 1C, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm a Flames fan because it's in my city. You know, I'm not one of those guys like, oh, I hate the Flames. Well, then then move because this is part of our fabric of our society kind of thing. But having these guys, like, Calgary's a party town. You know that with Stampede and everything else going on. So we are just looking for a reason to party. And when they go in, there's always, like, huge interest in the bars and like a big spillover onto the streets. And, you know, it was a long time ago, but in 2004, we had the Red Mile where it was just kind of like a means to an end. People were going to go there after the hockey game. They just wanted the team to win so they could party and get naked afterwards. You know, like,
what do you mean get naked? What?
Hey, take it off for Kippersoft, man. Yeah. TheRedMile.com. It's not, don't go to there now, but back then the website was very real. And we thought one time too, we didn't live anywhere near downtown, and we thought, oh, let's go down there and just see what it's all about. We drove our car with our dog for whatever reason, brought our dog down there, and he just wanted to climb into the back. He hated the noise so much. There were so many people, and you could not sleep for hours afterwards. The honking, the flags and cars, you know, and it was one of those teams, again, that was unexpected to make the playoffs, went on this big run, went to the Stanley Cup Finals, ultimately lost it in the end, but man, it's just it. Whether you go to the games or not, like, there's big outdoor parties everywhere with massive screens and giveaways and high-fiving and hugging, and you know what I mean? Like, we need more good in our world, Laura.
No kidding. There's just so much negativity and ugliness and meanness and name-calling.
Right?
Nasty.
Right? And are you a real person on social media? Laura, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Is that you? Is that a person? Are you a troll? You a bot? You compromised? You know, what's going on right now? Yeah. So, there's so many things to pull us apart. And I think that happened in COVID, right? Right versus left, vaxxer versus anti-vaxxer. And I'm quick to hate on my opinion. Like, I don't even post on social media really anymore because, you know, you get your fair share just scrolling through it.
Yeah, sometimes I post and then I regret it. But, you know, I have an answer. If somebody has something to say, I've always got an answer. So that's the only thing. And I try not, especially, to be too political, because I don't want to do that. I definitely don't want to do that.
It's funny how you find out, like, lots about your friends, right? By the rallies they go to and the posts they make. And it's like, you know, I mean, you're friends for a reason. Like, that's my rule when I see somebody. Look, my son plays hockey in small town Alberta. You can probably think how they feel about everything, you know? And my rule is we just don't bring up politics. You don't bring up religion. Don't bring up abortion. Don't bring up the hot topic items. And, you know, talk about the game. Have a couple of beers. Have some laughs. And you know what? If we took all the other dividing issues out of our life in all relationships, man, would we ever get along, hey?
Right? We'll deal with all that other stuff at the polls.
Yeah. as you quietly sit there and mark your spot, you know, and then you take that selfie in front of the polling station. I just voted. And then you usually tell everyone who you voted for, even though you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
My big line is when I walk into the polling station, just to kind of break the ice because it's tense in there, I'm like, hey, who's winning? And then they're like, they don't necessarily want to hear that. And
no,
they don't answer either. Yeah. Hang on a second. Give me a minute here to tally things up. Party A, Party B, Party C. All pretty close.
Well, okay. So if Calgary does get in, that's going to be a huge party. Just getting in is going to be a huge party. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Because we all know that nobody works during Stampede, right? So if you got a playoff game, same thing. Games are late. Heads are heavy in the morning. Yeah, Stampede. Like, nobody works for 10 days of Stampede. And if you can't eat for free during Stampede because it's pancakes every day, the pancake breakfast, you're doing it wrong. So that's a bit about our life. And then fireworks, too. You know, like, we start early with the pancakes and then fireworks every single night at, like, 10 o'clock. Because in the prairies, it doesn't get dark here till like, 10, 11 o'clock, right?
Same here. Yeah.
Is that the same there? Yeah. My buddy moved to Edmonton, and it's even lighter there. And he's like, one day I'm like painting the fence. I look at my watch. It's midnight. He's like, oh my God, it's still light out. it's like living in the Yukon. Hey, congrats. You won 7 days and no nights in the Yukon.
So for us, a family adventure to Disney, you get the fireworks at night, but it sounds like these are fireworks we need to experience as well.
I guess. I don't know. Call me jaded about fireworks, but yeah. No, I mean.
Well, I think they should be silent. I do think they need to be silent, but I do appreciate how pretty they can be.
Yeah, and they spend a lot of money on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and families go to the higher elevation spots, you know, in town, so they have a good spot to see them kind of thing. But, you know. Hey, man, the hassle of getting the family together and getting your blankets or whatever, getting in the car and then finding the parking spot and then, like, trekking over to the hill to go watch them for 3 minutes. Is that all worth it in the end? I don't know.
3 minutes ago, you just made them sound so exciting. Forget it. I'm going back to Disney.
If I can't see him from my window, I'm not going to the fireworks. And I can't see it from my window. I'm too far from downtown.
We're lucky here because somebody in the neighborhood, for all the years that we've been here, they've always had fireworks on New Year's and any other holiday. So we don't even have to leave the house. It's right down the road. So that's pretty cool.
There you go. That's perfect. Yeah. And if you're going to have them, they got to be good too. Like, spend some money on them. Like, put them to music. You know what I mean? Like, come on, let's go.
So our next topic, last time we talked, you had been, you know, getting tests done for, you know, how you're sleeping, and it turns out you weren't sleeping so great. So you got 4 minutes to tell us all about that.
Oh, man, where do you want to go on this? Like, they're doing, like, complete, like, heart breakdowns, like EKG. Performance of your heart is at 45%. That's not bad. It's usually at 50. I'm like, whatever. So, yeah, so I went for these the sleeping test, man. Have you had this done before, the CPAP test before?
I have not. No, actually. And I know some people who have, but I know a lot more people are getting CPAPs these days.
Yeah. So, and young kids, like in the clinic I go to, like 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, tons of kids, right? Like, yeah. When you're a mom of a small baby who's not sleeping, would sleep apnea ever cross your mind as a possibility as to why?
No, actually, I would have thought like gas or stomach acid or I don't know. I never would have
thought.
Mom's
a bad cook.
You said baby.
Dad's a bad cook, whatever it is. Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah, man. No. So like my buddy back in the day, and you still can, some people still do, and kids in particular, get tested at the clinic. And he's like, they hooked up a whole bunch of shit to me. And they're like, have a good sleep. He's like, are you kidding me right now? I'm on this Murphy bed in your office with a bunch of gear on me. Have a good sleep? Okay, sure. And they said the amount of people that walk out at like 4 a.m. because they can't fall asleep. And I don't blame them. I took mine home. And they give you like a little, almost like a little first aid kit. And there's like 3 things you put on, like a finger sensor, I guess for oxygen. I'm not really sure. And then they put something else on your chest, and then something else on your face, I want to say. And they're like, you want to look for 3 green lights. If it's all green, you're good to go. You can fall asleep. So I'm like, okay. And then I have 2 puppies, right, that love parties, especially late night parties, and pulling tubes and mechanisms and gear out of your face. So that wasn't going very well. So I asked my wife if she could sleep in the spare room with the other dog so I can try and get some sleep, because there's really a lot of pressure to try and fall asleep so I can measure how you're doing. And so finally I did. I didn't feel like I had a really good sleep. And they're like, okay, well, we're really backed up. You know, there's a ton of people in Calgary that have sleep apnea. So we'll probably get back to you in like 2-3 weeks and let you know what's going on kind of thing. I'm like, okay, cool. 3 days later, I see the respiratory group on my phone on call display. I'm like, remember the no news is good news? this is urgent. they're like, okay, so typically the normal person has 2.5 sleeping events per night, which means you stop breathing. Like you will, Laura, your husband will, your neighbors will stop breathing probably 2.5 times an hour for 10 or 15 seconds or longer, right? Which is really bizarre to think about. You're laying there waiting for Jesus? Like, what's going on here? Why am I? Hey, lungs, heart, can you guys like kick it into gear here? You know, I know I'm not watching you here at 3 a.m., but please, like, I'm taking you for granted, I guess. And yeah, so I had 40 events an hour, like off the charts, like video game high score numbers of 40 times an hour. I would stop breathing for 10 to 15 seconds. Right.
What?
So do the math on that. Isn't that crazy? What? Like basically every minute.
What's
I don't
the
know.
Cause?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm really bad. I'm not great at a lot of things with sleeping, especially not my
not
specialty.
Good you at think, breathing.
I'm not. I just shut her down. I'm like, take a knee. I'm like, I'm out. This is really hard. Breathing? Come on. Yeah, you think this is easy. I'm just gonna lay down, close my eyes, and sleep. You know, but I was always groggy and tired, you know? So I went to the dental hygienist. I was going for cleaning and she's like, do you have sleep apnea? I'm like, okay, stay in your lane. Like, stay in your lane. Clean those suckers. What do you mean, do I have sleep apnea? And I guess there's a channel that, you know, I don't know the technicalities of it, but basically she could kind of tell. So I told my sleep doctor this, and of course they get into pictures and slides of what she probably saw. I'm like, okay, that's fine, whatever. I'll take her word for it. She thinks I have sleep apnea. So I'm going to see her on Wednesday for a cleaning, and I'll let her know, hey, congratulations. You should go to the Stampede and predict if people have sleep apnea or not. Have a booth. You know, $15. I'll tell you. Forget the testing at the clinics. I will tell you right now if you have sleep apnea. But, yeah, so, I mean, now I have this whole thing. It's not easy, man. Like, this whole thing hooked up to your nose and, like a 6-foot tube, and now I got to take it on the road. When I'm going to Pittsburgh, I'm like, okay, I'm allowed to take it on the plane. People are like, oh, look at this guy. Look at this pathetic guy. He's got a little sleep apnea suitcase with him, you know? So,
put it in your
yeah,
backpack.
You got to fill it with water and put this snorty thing on your nose and you hope for the best. And then you have an app where it spits out stats at you in the morning. It gives you a score out of 100, right? And every night when my dog goes to bed at 11 with my wife, it's a one-man party. He's up. He's marching by my left side, and he marches by my head, and then he marches by my right, and he kicks over the tube, knocks out of my mouth, and jumps down. I'm like, hey, man, I'm getting judged on this score. You can't just take it out and knock me 2%. Like, there's no way to counter this movement. So, yeah, that's me, man. I guess for the rest of my life, I'll have this thing stuck to the front of my face.
Well, how many times do you, you know, not breathe now, though? You're having better sleeps?
How many events? Okay.
Do you feel refreshed?
Should I give you some current information?
Sure, give us some.
Last night I had 0.5 events per hour.
That's good.
That's a reduction of 39.5. Yeah, I know. My mask was off. My seal was not good. So anyway, I got to speak to her tomorrow. And it's, yeah, constant coaching. But it's so weird. She's like, she has more information from her master app, which I didn't even know she had. She'll call me up one day. She's like, oh, she's German. She's like, oh, you went to the bathroom at 2 a.m.? I'm like, what? What? I shut the curtain so your cameras couldn't find me, you know? But, yeah, no, they have, like, airspeed and, you know, leakage and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, speaking of leakage, I went to the bathroom at 2 o'clock. Oh, you're talking about air leakage. My bad.
Wow. But do you feel refreshed? Do you feel any better yet? I mean, does it take time before? I would have thought
immediate. I think it's like for buddies of mine, it went right away. They were good right away, you know, but I don't know. I got to find a better seal for this nose piece, and that's tomorrow's work. So I think eventually I will, but yeah, I've never bought so much distilled water in my life, kid. I swear to God. Hey, $1.89. That's a great price at Walmart. Let's go shopping for bottled water.
It's for
what
better
a life,
sleep.
Eh?
That's what happens.
Well, I was out of water the other day, and my wife's like, well, I have some. She's really crafty. It had, like, sparkles in it from she's dipping, like, her Cricut machine stuff in there. So She had like little stars and little green and white and gold, like little, I don't know, sparkly things that were in there. I'm like, this is weird. Hopefully I don't choke on them. I don't know what the water's for even, but yeah. So yeah, sometimes, hey, when I'm bored with my CPAP machine, I bling it up.
That's incredible. I just hope it makes you feel like, were you feeling like you weren't getting any sleep before?
Well, here's the thing. Like, every story I have is a hockey showcase story, but we drove down to Phoenix a couple years ago to go. He wanted to go to the one at Arizona State University. So we drove down there and, you know, it was a long drive. I think it was like, we stopped a few times in Salt Lake. We went to California to go see another coach. And I felt like 3 hours was kind of like my max behind the wheel, you know what I mean? Before I get tired, and I asked my wife to take over and drive, and going to Kamloops and back, which was like 7 or 8 hours in one shot. I was no problem. So that to me is progress, right? And obviously being tired behind the wheel is not a great thing, especially when you're on a logging route and like people are transporting stuff in big trucks across the country and you're part of that traffic. So being alert and awake is, I think that's probably the ideal situation.
And are you upping your water intake? Because that's important too, Mookie.
Like drinking water?
Yes.
So I have 3 giant glasses before I leave to work in the morning.
Do you?
And the first glass, like giant glasses. So I probably have about 2 liters of water before I leave the house.
Wow.
But yeah, because hydration, I know. And I don't love drinking water, and I don't want to drink too late in the day because I don't want to have pee breaks, because my sleep doctor will say, oh, you woke up at 4:19. I'm like, easy, Olga. It's not her name, by the way. But yeah, so the first one, apparently I'm drinking collagen with it. My wife has me drinking collagen, which my dogs have collagen bones, so I'm not really sure what I'm doing here. And then it's got some Metamucil for, you know, sometimes when I want to have that big relief on the toilet. Hey, but I found out, did you take Metamucil or no?
No.
Okay.
I'm not,
I found out they have tablets. They have tablets now, not just the powder, which doesn't always stir into your water. And I feel like I'm choking back pockets of powder. It's hard to stir when you try not to wake the house up at 4 a.m.
Those pockets of powder are going to do wonders for you.
That's not the first time I'm going to see you, pockets of powder. I'm just renting them.
See you later.
Yeah, see you in a bit. 24 hours or so.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you have a lot to share today.
Oh, yeah. Good old corn roasts. Hey, how about the free peanuts at the bar? Never mind. What's the other stuff? Asparagus? Is that that's the pea smell,
right? Yeah. Yeah, 10% of people find their pea smells weird after having asparagus. Are you one of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Yeah, and what's the other one? Cherries make you shit? Is that the one too or no?
I never had to worry about it. What about beets?
Beets. Oh my God. I started writing my will out. I'm on the toilet. I'm like, okay, what do you get? I don't have anything, but what do you guys want? I remember one time a buddy of mine and I went to a bar for last call. We got like 15 blue Hawaiians. I don't know why we were drinking blue Hawaiians. But the next morning, I'm like, oh. My dad's a doctor. I'm like, I was about to call him. I'm like, hey, can I just send you a quick pic? And then I'm like, oh, wait. And then the slideshow of last call went through my head. I'm like, oh, okay, never mind. We're good.
It's the same with blue ice cream.
Yeah? What is it about stuff like that?
I don't know. It's just, it's frightening. And then you're relieved because you're like, oh, wait, I had blue ice cream.
Yeah, but then you got to wait 24 hours or whatever, right? It's like, okay, come on. Got to kill some time here till my next stool sample. Come on, please. Please have good news tomorrow. Please have some more good news tomorrow.
I better eat a salad. Said,
that's right. Mix in some greens. My dad always, you know, I'm not going to tell you this. He was telling you about like what you should look out for in a bad poo. But we can talk about that next time if you want. But
I think we can skip it.
Yeah.
Wait, we can have your dad on as a guest.
How to know you're dying on the toilet. But his big line growing up, too, because we always went to him with stuff. You know what I mean? My dad's big line was, shit is shit.
Okay. I love it.
He just meant like he was like trying to bring the room down. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just waste your body doesn't want. Don't overanalyze it. Don't get your science kit out. You got in grade 11. You know, like, just let it be. Flush it down. Nobody wants to see a picture of it. Don't overanalyze it. You know, don't get the popsicle sticks out and start to break down the texture.
We were at a house party years and years and years ago, and the mom was home. And the guy who was having the party, maybe like 25 at the time, he says, "Mom, you got to come see this. It's like sticking out a foot from the water." It's like, why are you doing this? He made his mom go and look at it.
What's the movie, Caddyshack? Do you remember Caddyshack?
No, not really. I don't.
Yeah, it was floating in the pool. It was floating in the pool, and like a guy grabbed it. And he's like, oh, it's a baby Ruth or whatever it was. But people thought it was a log or some shit in the pool. But the guy grabs it and takes a bite of it.
Okay, I'm glad I didn't see that movie then.
Yeah.
Yuck. Yeah. No, thank you. My husband's home now. He went out to buy my bucket of bullets from Canadian Tire.
Oh, what are you shooting?
It's like 1,400 bullets. A 22. It's a Smith & Wesson. Uh-huh. And I also have a Glock, so I have both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so be nice to you then.
Yeah, because I shoot until I get a bullseye. And even if I get a bullseye within the first clip, I'm done.
The girl I work with is a hunter, and she had a tag for deer this year, but didn't get any. So I always tell her the safest place is in front of your gun. I might get hit by a stray, but if you're aiming at me, I know I'm good.
See, I was going to get a tag, and my husband said, no, you're not getting a tag, because I'm a vegetarian, and I just wouldn't use the tag.
Oh, I can't even imagine lugging that thing, though, hey? Oh, my God.
Well, they've done it, and he's actually cleaned one, a deer, in our garage, and then he sent me pictures. Thank you. Right. Nice.
No, I've had buddies when I coach hockey, like, they're like, can you come pick up my son? And I go to his house to pick up his son. I know why, because there's like a moose hanging over the back of the truck. You know what I mean? Like, there's no room for the gear. So the moose took it all in the back, and he hasn't cleaned it or gutted it or whatever yet. So I'm like, yeah, no problem. No big deal. So
Yeah. If you have to, you have to. I'm just the vegetarian over here that won't.
Yeah, good for you.
Do it.
Good
nope.
for you.
Nope. So I'm
having salmon for dinner, so that's kind of like a fake vegetarian. No?
I tried salmon. I didn't like it.
It's too fishy.
It's too fishy. I even tried it with, what was that, raspberry sauce. Didn't work.
I'm just trying to eat things that are good for me. Salads, fish. I'm Googling healthy foods, you know? Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds good. Lettuce. All these colorful things on the screen.
Oats. Beets.
That's it, man. Yeah, oats, beets. Yeah, all that stuff. Okay, as we're talking, it's 2-0 Islanders. Ovi does not have the record-breaking goal.
He's not going to get it today. He's going to save it for Thursday when he's at home.
Okay.
I think so. That's what all the sports fans say.
The prognosticators.
There we go. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Laura, take care.